Our Bibles and go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, continuing our lesson on developing a powerful prayer life. And like I've said before, we're just living in a day and age where we do need to spend more time in prayer, prayer for our family, prayer for our country, prayer for the church, and just even prayer that God would intervene in different ways and help us to remain faithful to Him as we continue to follow Him faithfully. But in the book of James, chapter 5, looking at verse 16 through 18, so James chapter 5, verse 16 through 18, the Bible says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." You know, when you think about as James records what happened in the days of Elijah, Elijah being a prophet of the Lord, and in the days of Elijah, Ahab was the king, Jezebel was the queen. They were leading the nation of Israel in rebellion against God, and because of that, God caused a great drought to be upon the land. And Elijah, being the prophet, is the one that went and told Ahab that thus saith the Lord, that there would not be rain upon the earth for 3.5 years. And there was no rain. There was a great drought. And then after three and a half years, he comes and he prays again. God tells him to go and to pray that rain would come, and rain would come. And what I want us to see out of the account of Elijah this morning is exactly what the second part of verse 16 says. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now that word effectual simply means with effect. Our prayers having effect because we're fervent in praying to our Lord, who we know answers prayer according to His will. And He's told us to come to Him and to ask in the name of Jesus Christ, and we will see our prayers being answered. Again, we still have to have the heart and belief that God does answer our prayers, that it's not just a ritual, as some people think it's a ritual. It's not lighting candles. It's not bowing down to a statue. It's not just having a repetition of words. My stepfather was raised Catholic. His foster parents, I'd say, but he was adopted, and his parents sent him off to England to go to, not monastery, but to go to a Catholic boys' school, and so he kind of grew up in a Catholic school. And one thing that he said one time after hearing me pray over lunch with the family, was he told my mom came and told me, is as he said, he made the statement, "I'm glad that I don't have to try to figure out what to say to God, but I have prayers I can just repeat." Because there is a difference between talking to God and then just repeating a prayer. And I've known of him, there's nothing wrong with it, but I've even known of people that will just repeat the Lord's Prayer that he taught the disciples how to pray, and that's their prayer, where they repeat the words of Christ. And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but again, we understand that prayer is a relationship with God. When I talk to my wife, I'm not just, you know, repeating sentences that I repeat all the time, you know, "Hi, honey, I love you." You know, there's more in depth to it. There's a conversation going on. So that's what prayer is. And again, we are praying to someone that we know that as the Bible says, he has ears to hear. He hears our prayers. He wants us to spend time with him. That's why he's given us the boldness to come to him, to come to the throne of grace, to ask for help in time of need. But as the Bible here talks about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Righteous man simply means a man of God, a person, a child of God. It's not someone who's perfect and sinless, but someone who has a heart's desire to walk with God and has a heart's desire for God's will to be accomplished and to be used of God. So when we think about the effectual prayer of a righteous man, we again, it's having a heart and a mindset that I know that God hears me, I know that God will answer my prayers, I know that God will guide me and lead me according to his will. Now, something I want us to think about, and that is, it's impossible to develop a powerful biblical praying life without joining our prayers to the promises of God's word. I think I mentioned this last week, that prayer and scripture go hand in hand. No Christian can have a prayer life without the word of God in their life. It just, you can't have one or the other. You can't read your Bible and never pray and expect to hear from God. They go hand in hand because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So God's given this wonderful access to him that we can pray and we can talk to him. We can tell the Lord, you know, I messed up today. I got mad at somebody, or whatever it may be. And we know we can receive forgiveness from God and we can be cleansed from that, as the Bible tells us, because God doesn't want us to harbor bitterness. He doesn't want us to give room to the devil. Because when we do, then our prayers are hindered. Again, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There can be, as somebody once said, there can be no powerful prayer life without a growing knowledge of God's truth. There just can't be. You cannot have a relationship with God and neglect God's word. Because the more that we read God's word, the more that we're encouraged what God does in the life of his people, that, you know what? The Bible teaches us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when does God change the way that he responds to his children? When does God change the way that he does anything? He never does. He never changes. When you think about just Elijah, remember, Elijah was used mightily of God. Elijah was on Mount Carmel. He's the one that prayed and fire fell from heaven because there was a challenge. There was a challenge put out between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. The prophets of Baal, being basically the servants of Satan, were leading the people away from God. And the people were worshiping Baal, which is the devil, and they were offering sacrifices to a God who cannot answer their prayers and cannot do what needs to be done in their life. And God wanted to turn the hearts of the people back to him, and God sent Elijah to go challenge the prophets of Baal. And Elijah tells the prophets of Baal, all right, choose you out a sacrifice. The Bible says a bullock. Choose you out a bullock. Sacrifice him and call upon your God. And I'll do the same. I'll have a sacrifice. I'll call upon my God. And whichever God rains fire from heaven, he's the real God. Now, it's amazing these 500 prophets of Baal actually did that. Knowing that the God that they served couldn't do such things, couldn't even rain fire from heaven, couldn't answer their prayers. But nonetheless, they did. They chose him out a bullock, the Bible says, and they sacrificed it. And from the morning sacrifice until the evening sacrifice, they were crying, they were cutting themselves, they were trying to get their God to rain fire upon their sacrifice. And by the time it's the evening sacrifice, nothing had happened. There was silence from their God because their God cannot speak. Their God does not answer prayers. They were worshiping a false God that could do nothing for them. And the Bible records that at the evening sacrifice, basically Elijah, it's his turn. And you know what the Bible says? Elijah, he rebuilt the altar of God that had been torn down. He rebuilt it. He put the wood in order. He took a bullock, placed the bullock on top of the sacrifice. But then he dug a trench. He dug a trench around that altar, and he had it filled up with water 7 times with barrels of water. The water was poured on the sacrifice, which obviously got the sacrifice soaking wet, got the wood soaking wet, filled up the trench. Elijah was making it very hard in the eyes of the people for fire to consume the sacrifice. Because anything that is soaking wet, it's hard to have it catch fire. But Elijah is trying to prove that there's nothing impossible that God cannot do. And you know the account. Elijah, he prays, and fire falls from heaven and consumes the sacrifice, consumes the wood, consumes the stones, consumes the water in the trench, and all the dust that is there. Now, Elijah, again, it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When Elijah prayed, there was effectiveness to his prayer. Meaning, the prophets of Baal, they prayed, nothing happened. The only thing that happened is they wounded themselves. Because the Bible records they were cutting themselves, trying to get the attention of their God. And now they're, you know, basically licking their wounds. They're sore and they're bleeding. And Elijah, he just looks, the Bible says he looks up to heaven and just prays to God to show himself. And God does. That's the wonderful thing about a Christian praying to a true living God, that we will see the effectiveness of our prayer. When we pray, do we see the results of our prayer? I want you to look with me at 1 John chapter 5. Because if we're not seeing results to our prayers, it might be that, yes, we believe in God, but we don't have any confidence that God will answer us. 1 John chapter 5, you look at verse 14 and 15. So 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. First of all, before I read on, we have to have confidence that God hears us. We have to have confidence that God will answer our prayers. Now, personally, I would love to be able to pray and have what Elijah had happen. Fire fallen from heaven. Because you know what? That proved to not only the prophets of Baal, but also to God's people, that God is still alive. God is still real. God's still living. Because when you go back and you read more of that account of Elijah and Mount Carmel, as soon as the fire fell, the people cried out, God, he is the Lord. He is the Lord. But before that, Elijah told them, choose today who you're going to serve. If you're going to serve Baal, serve Baal. If you're going to serve God, because they were trying to serve both gods. And you can't serve the God of heaven and the God of this world. You have to choose one or the other, because there's no effectiveness in trying to be neutral and trying to compromise and try to seemingly get both out of God and both out of this world. But the people would not answer Elijah a word when he told them to choose. But when they saw the fire fall, then they cried out, God is the Lord. Because God is the Lord. But it took something great for them to see, to realize, you know what? God is the God. When we pray for our family members, for friends, for relatives, to be saved and to come to know Christ as their Savior, Sometimes they're probably hoping that God will just do something to cause them to realize God is the God. And God can, but many times I believe prayers are not being answered in some people's lives because they don't really have confidence in their prayer and who they're praying to. Again, it says this is the confidence that we have in Him, Him being Christ, Him being God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, we know it's God's will that people will be saved. We know that it's God's will for people to come to know Christ as their Savior and for God to show Himself mighty in their life. Verse 15, and if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Again, those petitions, those prayers, we're petitioning God for something. Again, it may be for ourself. It may be for somebody else. We're interceding for somebody else. But we are petitioning God through prayer with confidence that I know God hears me. And the reason why I know God hears me, because I know that I am not purposely living in sin. I'm not harboring any unforgiveness, any bitterness, any hatred in my life. And while I've been praying, if God has shown me something I need to confess, well, I have confessed it. You know, I've asked for God's forgiveness. And just having that confidence that, you know what? Prayer is not man's design. Who came up with prayer? Who came up with praying? It wasn't Noah. It wasn't even Adam, the first man. It was God. God is the one that developed the communication between us and Him. God is the one that designed for us to have that relationship with Him. And Jesus even reminds us that we can come to Him and ask anything in His name, and it'll be done according to God's will. And we have to have the confidence that God will hear our prayers and God will answer our prayers. Because again, God is always looking to be glorified, and He is looking to bless His people. Look at John chapter 14. I want us to think about between today and next week, we'll only look at four of these, but I want us to think about eight principles to our powerful prayer life. Eight principles that do need to be part of our prayer life. And the first one is found in John 14. John 14 and verses 13 and 14, these are the words of Christ. And obviously, Jesus told us that we are to do all of His commandments. We're to follow His word. Whatever He has told us in Scripture, we are to apply it to our life because we'll never be steered the wrong direction. We'll never be led astray. We'll never be lied to because Jesus is truth. So John 14, you look at verse 13 and 14, Jesus says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Again, Jesus gives us, He gives us that authority that we can ask anything in the name of Jesus Christ. That we can say when we're praying about anything, we can say, and often we do, at the end of a prayer, we may say, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Or at the beginning, we may say, you know what, Lord, I'm asking in the authority of Jesus Christ. I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ. You can even, and we even see in a scripture where we can say, Lord, Jesus told us that if we ask anything in His name, you'll answer us and you'll do it so that you're glorified. Again, that's what Jesus says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Remember, Jesus came to glorify His Heavenly Father by fulfilling the Father's will, and Jesus accomplished the Father's will. You and I want to bring glory to God by accomplishing His will in our life, and we do that through prayer. But Jesus here gives us the ability, the command, the okay. He gives us the authority to use his name in prayer to receive what we need. Again, verse 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now just thinking, we can pray with an attitude of authority. We can pray with an attitude of authority and confidence through the name of Jesus Christ. Praying with authority and confidence isn't going to God and saying, God, you have to do what I say because Jesus said so. Again, I've known of people who have had that attitude with God and have demanded things from God. And I know of an evangelist and his wife that I never invited back the last church I was at, because they sat across from me and they were talking about just what God had done in their life, but the wife was not happy with what God had done. God had blessed them with a camper trailer to travel with, so they had a place to stay. It was given to them free of charge by some church members of another church. It was an older trailer, but they fixed it up and they cleaned it, but she wasn't happy with it. And she proceeded to tell me and my wife how she even told God that she wasn't happy with it, and even said to God with her own lips, is this the best you can do for me, God? And I didn't know what to say. I kind of sat there in shock, like, I don't think I could ever talk to God that way. Because we are to be thankful for everything that God gives to us. Even if it may not be what we want, it is what God's given us. So what I mean, you know, we are to pray with an attitude of authority and confidence, not authority over God, and not confidence that, you know, well, God, you have to do what I say, but authority meaning, you know what, your adversary, the devil, will often fight against you and me in our prayers, not wanting us to pray with confidence, not wanting us to go to God and pour out our heart to him. And there are times where, you know what, Jesus has given us this authority that we can actually rebuke the devil and tell the devil in the name of Jesus Christ, depart from me. Again, we're not God. The devil does have power, but Jesus has all power. And when we feel like somebody is being tormented or bothered by the devil, we as a child of God can go to God and in authority and confidence ask God to rebuke the devil. The Bible records that Michael the archangel, one of the strongest angels that God's created, was contending with the devil, the Bible says. But instead of bringing an accusation upon himself by doing or saying anything to the devil that could be used against him or bring shame to himself and cause him to kind of stand in pride like the devil, the Bible records that Michael the archangel told the devil, the Lord rebuke thee. So again, his confidence and his authority that, you know what, my creator rebukes thee, because the devil is not, he was not obedient to God. He is a rebel. He is a demonic force that is trying to keep people from getting saved and trying to keep God's people from growing in their relationship. But you and I can have confidence that God has given us the authority to pray in his name, all right? We have that authority to use the name of Jesus Christ. Why is it, when you read in the Gospels, why is it, or in the book of Acts, that the Pharisees, the religious rulers, were always trying to get the disciples not to speak in the name of Jesus? Because there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's power, there is authority, and there is confidence in that name. Look in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews, chapter 4, and verse 16. You know, there was a time when Jesus was questioned by the Pharisees, and they asked Jesus, "Who gave you this authority?" Because Jesus walked around with authority, because he is authority, he is God. But he walked around with this authority that the Pharisees did not like, because it went against them. Jesus would do things that were contrary to the Pharisees' teaching. Jesus never did anything contrary to God and God's word. But the Pharisees were a religious group who exalted their teachings above the word of God. And they often were rebuking Jesus for things he did, but then they asked him one day, you know, "Who gave you this authority?" Now, Jesus ended up not answering them, because Jesus said, "Well, let me ask you a question. John the Baptist, was he of men or was he of God?" And they reasoned among themselves, and they said, "Well, if we say that he was of God, then Jesus will say, why didn't you believe him? If we say that he was just a man, we fear the people." So the Pharisees never would truly make a decision publicly if they would fully reject Christ and fully reject God, or fully, you know, reject the people or follow the people. But they come back to Jesus and say, "We can't tell. We don't know." Now, they knew John the Baptist was sent from God. But because they would not answer Jesus' question, Jesus did not answer their question. Because you know what? Jesus didn't have to say, "My authority comes from God." Because actions speak louder than words. And Jesus' actions of healing people, casting out demons, and doing the things proved he was God, therefore he has all authority. All right? And you and I have that same authority. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Again, our authority comes from the Lord, and we have the confidence that we can come to God for anything and ask God for his help, ask him for his grace, and we do receive mercy when we come to the Lord. Because think about this. Grace, probably one of the simplest illustrations I can give is, you know, I can be upset with one of my children because they've disobeyed, they've done something wrong. I got on to them, you know, I still love them, but I'm a little upset because I told them not to do something, they did it. Maybe something got broke, all right. But if they were to come to me, you know, after the fact and needed something or they were hurt, I would not sit there and say, "Go away, I'm not helping you because I'm still mad at you. I'm upset." No, I would put my feelings aside and meet whatever need they had, even though I just had to get done, you know, getting on to them because they disobeyed me. I have talked to so many people that have that mindset that they feel like they can't go to God because they've done something wrong. But God gives us that confidence that we can come to him. Because look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. And this is why it's important that every Christian continue to read the Bible along with praying, because the Bible helps to build our confidence in God, helps to build our confidence in praying to God, helps to build our confidence in believing that, you know what, God will receive me when I come to him. God will help me. If there's something in my life that needs to be corrected, I know that God will do it in a loving way. God's not going to reject me because I'm his child. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. But that's why, because again, the word of God helps us to understand the love of God, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. In 1 John chapter 1, look at verse Number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So again, God's will is that we do walk uprightly with him and that we do have a close relationship with him. And we never need to give the devil any place in our life in the form of thinking, God's not going to forgive me, or I can't go to God. Again, I've talked to people who have bought into that lie that, you know what, God doesn't want to talk to me because, you know, I keep messing up or I've done this, and that's just not true. And God, Jesus, gives the example of the prodigal son who obviously he left home. He took his inheritance. His father willingly gave him his inheritance that he wasn't supposed to have yet, but, you know, he wasn't going to, you know, force the son to stay because God never forces anybody to love him or come to him for help. God's just always there. And if we willingly come to him, you know, with the confidence that, you know what, I might have messed up, but I know that God will help me. I know that God will forgive me, he'll cleanse me, whatever it is, because God wants the best for me, but I have to be willing to come to him. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. The second principle I want us to think about in our prayer life is making sure that we do spend that quality time in prayer, allowing God to search us, to search our hearts, to help us to grow in our faith, to help us, you know, not to believe any lies of the devil. Again, the devil's always going to try to convince any of God's people that God doesn't care, God doesn't love, God's not going to listen to your prayer, you keep messing up. But that's just not true. And as we continue to read God's word faithfully and daily, our confidence, our faith in God will be strengthened and we will be able to resist those lies from the devil. But we do need to spend quality time allowing God to search our hearts. In Proverbs 28, look at verse 13. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Again, it's just being honest with the Lord. It's being honest with the Lord. We can hide whatever may be wrong in our life. And again, it may not be some gross sin, all right? It may just be that somebody struggles with fully trusting God with their life. They've trusted him for salvation, but because life is so real to us and we're faced with reality, we're faced with so many different things that when we try to compare what's going on in life with somebody we can't see, because we're to walk by faith, not by sight, sometimes our eyes cause us to believe lies that, you know what, God can't help in this matter. And the Bible does tell us that unbelief is a sin. I've asked people before, and maybe you have too, are you a sinner? Oh no, I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't robbed a bank. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't stolen anything. Okay, but those aren't the only sins. Sin is anything we know, the Bible tells us, that's against God. And for a child of God to have any unbelief, that's sin. So we need to be honest with God. Lord, I know that you can. I know that, Lord, I know you told me I can come to you. I can ask anything in the name of Jesus Christ and you'll hear me and you'll do it according to your will. And Lord, I really want you to answer this prayer, but Lord, I'm struggling with believing that you will. I know that you can, but Lord, I'm struggling with believing that you will for me. Lord, I know you did it for so-and-so. I know you did it for somebody else, but Lord, I just don't think I'm worthy of you answering my prayer. The Bible gives an account of a father who came to Jesus on the behalf of his son, who was possessed with a demon that was trying to destroy his life. The boy was, he would fall to the ground, foaming at the mouth. And the father even told Jesus that sometimes he would be thrown into the water, sometimes in the fire. And Jesus asked the father, he asked the father, do you believe I can do this? Do you believe I can heal your son? And the Bible records that the father said, yes, I believe, but help my unbelief. He came to Jesus for help, but he still kind of had some unbelief that Jesus would. And the Bible doesn't tell us why he struggled with that, but again, sometimes as I've talked to people, people feel like they're not worthy for God to help. You know what? That's the wonderful thing about God's love, is that God loves us, he loves you, he wants to help. And the fact that the man said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Now, someone may say, well, okay, he's on the fence. He doesn't know if he believes or not, so you know what? God's not going to help him. No, because he confessed that he believed, but also confessed that, Lord, I'm struggling with unbelief. The Lord turns to the son, rebukes the demon, and the son is made whole. What will get God's attention in our prayer life is admitting if we're struggling with any unbelief. Because God already knows it. But the Bible still tells us if I regard iniquity, which is sin, which is anything against God, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We have to be willing to verbally tell the Lord, I'm struggling. Lord, I need your help. And God will help because he wants our prayer life to be strong. He wants us to have this vibrant relationship with him. So we have to do what the Bible tells us to do, even in this verse where it says, whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Forsaking whatever may be holding us back from really having a vibrant prayer life, a closer walk with the Lord. Again, we are human. We do struggle. But we have a God in heaven who says, come to me. I've opened up the way for you to boldly come to me and seek my mercy, and you're going to find grace in the time of need. You know, we all need God's grace. We all need God to help us to have a more effectual prayer life. Because again, there's people we're praying for. There's people in your life you're praying for. There's people in my life I'm praying for. There's people in the church we're praying for. You know, off the prayer list that we have on Wednesday nights. And we want to see God do great things. But we have to have the confidence that I know that God hears me when I pray. I know that I have the authority to come to God because he's given me that authority as his child. Because you know what? If I were to go to Washington, D.C., I could not just barge into the White House and barge into the president's office and say, I want to talk to you. I would be stopped at the gate by the guards and they would check the registry. Your name's not on here. You're not going in. But aren't you glad that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and you have the authority to go into the throne room of God and ask for help? You don't have to go to Peter or Paul or James or John and say, can you get me in so I can talk to God? No, you go directly to the Lord because he's given you that authority. So again, prayer is a wonderful thing that God's given us, But it is something that we as people have to work on. And we have to continue trusting what God's told us. I've got the authority, I've got the confidence, and adding scripture to it to help us to grow in our faith that, you know what, prayer still works. Because God said, pray. That's asking, ye shall receive. Knock, it'll be opened, right? Seek and you'll find. That's what Jesus told us to do through praying. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for just this morning. Thank you, Father, again for this time. I ask that you would continue to guide us according to your will, continue to teach us the things that we need to learn, remind us of the things we need to remember. And Father, through it all, help us, Lord, just to continue to develop a more powerful prayer life. Our prayer life may be great right now, but Lord, we can always use improvement because, Father, you're always working on us. And as the world continues to change, Lord, we do need to spend more time in prayer, be more fervent in prayer, seeking you to work in the lives of people as you continue to work in our life. Father, I ask that you would please continue to bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we got about 10 minutes.